We are back with more of the Capitol Green Scene. Bill and Brian here at the mics, and we are speaking with Ross Gould of Environmental Advocates of New York.
Right, he's their air expert, and we've been chewing on this thing called REGGI, Control of Greenhouse Gases, under the state program that's 3 years old, and whether it should be changed or not, the groups that Ross is a part of want the governor to tighten this cap, reduce the amount of pollution.
Reduce the supply of allowances.
Yes, exactly. And that way people would have more incentive to further cut their emissions because the price of the permits would go up. They'd want to use less permits, so they would try to cut their emissions. Like, that's the theory of it all, right?
Yeah, but isn't the reality, Brian? I mean, coal plants and oil plants are being mothballed all around the states and causing some distress, by the way, with respect to municipalities that use these things as cash cows, especially when they're run by the utilities. Yeah. You know, the taxes that these plants would pay got built into the rate base anyway. They made 12 or 13% on it. You know, the more taxes they paid, the better for these utilities. So these communities that hosted these things, you know, we're kind of fat, dumb, and happy, so to speak, for years and years and years. And now suddenly, you know, the market is operating. And I guess my point would be, you know, the REGGI program is a small part of the market forces that are actually doing the good thing already. It can't hurt. But
The natural gas transition
it
has a lot to do with what's going on with the emission levels.
Right.
That's right, isn't it, Ron?
You know, we're definitely sympathetic with what's going on in certain counties that have relied heavily on, you know, these fossil, these dinosaurs of our past.
Sure, jobs, taxes.
Yeah, but we can find ways to go into those communities and invest in energy efficiency and renewables and reduce the costs for them to have electricity and at the same time create local jobs.
I'm not saying that's not the way to go, but I'm just reminding everybody that, you know, there's always a little bit of...
There's always a trade, but, if, you know, given climate change and emissions, if it wasn't serious and important, why bother to do it? But, you know, at this point, the climate is showing signs of stress.
If you just look at what's come out recently, the national agency that looks at our oceans and atmosphere, their NOAA, National Oceanographic Atmospheric Agency, has shown that our June temperatures were the fourth hottest ever on the global average temperatures. July was our hottest July in U.S. history. Two-thirds of our country is experiencing drought.
It's snowing in Johannesburg.
Global weirding is another way of describing the situation, no doubt.
Yeah.
I've heard this metaphor, I think, for climate change. You know, the whole thing is no single event is going to prove or disprove it. You look for patterns of events. It's like Barry Bonds in baseball, say. Before he took steroids, he hit home runs. You know, they were normal function. Afterwards, he hit more home runs. You know, but could you say, oh, that home run's a steroid home run? Oh, that one isn't.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. You can't, so the science doesn't work that way. But the trends and patterns of temperature, you know, increase is how many months in a row are we above the average for that month? 260 months in a row or something?
Mm-hmm. The last two decades have seen hottest, some of the hottest years on record.
So that's why I guess the emissions goal has a purpose. If it didn't, then it'd be just a waste of everyone's time.
Speaking of home runs, though, Brian, I mean, our governor, they've pitched up a lot of environmental issues to our governor.
Oh, yeah.
And he's hit a lot of home runs.
Yeah, he did something this week.
Is he fouling this one off or what?
Well, we don't know what's going to occur. Right? This is the 4 months for Ross's side of the aisle.
He's shown some signs. You know, as I mentioned, he proposed that legislation that would have directed the Department of Environmental Conservation to make adjustments to REGGI. Unfortunately, the legislative clock ran out in June, and that couldn't get done. But now, he has the opportunity to move forward in another vehicle.
Right.
I would imagine that the power plant owners, through one of their groups, the Independent Power Producers of New York, wouldn't be very supportive of, lowering the cap and essentially raising the cost of the permits. I can already tell you that with 100% certainty.
One of the things that surprisingly they've actually asked for is they've said, that's great, it's applying to us. Well, let's expand it to throughout the state, to other sectors as well.
Yeah, they don't want to be the only people in the pool.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They're looking at transportation possibly or other aspects because power generation is roughly, a third of a greenhouse gas emissions profile.
Something like that.
About a third or so. Right?
But the reason that you always go for that is, A, it's easy. It's
central,
sort of a centralized.
It's central, right. You're not doing a million tailpipes.
Right, exactly. Right. And people love their cars. I mean, once you tell them that they got to pay $5 a gallon for gasoline, which is exactly what you would like, Brian, you know, there's going to be blood in the streets.
More mass transit. Yeah, more trains. More light rail.
$5 a gallon. I want them driving something that's electric.
Yeah, exactly. The stuff that doesn't, of course, then you're back into the Reggie.
Because the power plant has to make
the
electricity.
Power plant has to make the power, so it goes back to Reggie again here.
Yeah, when you plug the car in, it makes you more. It helps you become more energy efficient.
Yeah, no, I've driven many electric vehicles, and I'm kind of a big fan of those.
I had a chance to drive a Chevy Volt that was out at the car show at the TU Center this spring, and it was it functioned fine.
I'm looking at a Tesla, Brian.
Oh,
yeah. I was going to say, if you guys can ever get me a test drive for a Tesla, I'd get it.
That would be awesome. We do that on the radio. You just hear this. Of course, you wouldn't hear anything on
the radio.
That's
right. We'd have to make up the noise with it.
120 miles an hour, it makes no sound at all. You know, yeah. So, well, no, it all comes back to the emissions profile and Reggie. So we're going to see what the governor is going to do with this thing. You know,
it's going to be an interesting year for the governor.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he just added some land to the Forest Preserve.
He did that as well, yes. Some Finch Prime property, part of a deal with the Nature Conservancy that's going to add to the Forest Preserve. So I know the groups that want land preservation are pretty happy about that. But the big gorilla is coming. Oh, yes. Everybody knows what hydrofracking is on the horizon. Hey, so Ross, what's the over-under on what day he's going to announce this? I know it's
going to be a Friday.
It's about 4 to 5. Yeah, I know it's a parlor game down in Albany.
You probably have the odds pegged as good as I do.
Yeah, people have been saying middle of August, now end of August, after Labor. You know,
the rumor mills are churning. That's really all that can be said on that one. They're churning away.
Yeah. So the governor there, it's a live wire politically. Either way, he's going to make some people happy and other people not at all happy.
Well, you know, the governor has right here in front of him an opportunity either to set for himself a positive environmental outlook and to be taking positive steps for the environment, or he could set his legacy as someone who was a terrible governor for the environment. Mm. You know, that's what comes down to with his decisions coming up on Reggie, on fracking, and on many other issues, clean energy decisions. As well as decisions on the Environmental Protection Fund,
right? And I know
which was the money that was used to support the land purchase that you just mentioned.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. The issues on his table are definitely varied and many. In terms of the fracking, I know that the documentation that the DC has to issue, called a generic environmental impact statement, is what, up to 4,000 pages.
Well,
I had read.
Like that.
It's up to 4,000 pages, so I guess the lawyers love that, Bill, because you can bill them by the page.
Oh,
to
I
read
can't
it.
Wait for the litigation.
4,000 pages of potential litigation. But I think one of the key issues, aside from the environmental controls that may or may not be placed, is the idea of any kind of surety or security that a well driller might be placed place on their work, and whether the state gets a taste of any of the riches. In form of any kind of tax, and I don't think so far. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ross. Does a tax proposed? If it comes,
a severance tax or something like that.
If it comes, does the state get its share?
You know, it's one of those things that's been thrown out on the table. It's hard to say where that's going to end up. But you know, the best way for the state to make to see a return from energy is to invest in energy efficiency and renewable energy. I mean, we see greater job creation from $1 million invested in energy efficiency than we do in any form of fossil fuel.
Now, I know that the governor had pointed a panel of people to help advise on some of these issues of how to pay for it, you know, what kind of issues in terms of maybe tax policy, et cetera, on fracking.
Fracking.
And your boss down there at EA New York, Ross, Rob Moore, is on that panel, but it hasn't met since January, right?
I don't know the exact date.
I think it's January. So
he's been participating in that panel, and just like other other stakeholders have as well, and we've, you know, has been
well, isn't the Telegraph
his advice and input.
What they're telegraphing there, Brian, is it's going to be a very limited thing. So you're, the considerations of, you know, trying to raise millions of dollars to manage this process is going to be, it's going to be obviated because it's going to be so small. They could just sort of tuck it in, you know.
Yeah, I suppose. I know some people on the group are a little bit perplexed that they don't get called upon to deliberate and listen any longer. I know that's perplexing some of the members of the group.
It is, and, you know, the governor made his statement, and then we, you know, we have not had anything to about, you know, how his direction he wants to go, but that was not based on anything that we were advising, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, the so far, the news on this seems to be being done by a series of trial balloons in the New York Times.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody, they want a little bit of the word out. They, you know, the Times seems to get a piece of the story and float it. I don't know if that'll continue between now and when it comes out or not, but that seems to be how it's been done, you know, from a media management point of view.
Well, I'll tell you, Brian, you know, a lot of these issues are right now floating in the state houses around the country. But if President Obama is reelected, it'll be interesting to see whether he moves environment to the front of the agenda. I mean, really, these whole issues of air, I mean, it's very difficult to do the right thing or even the, you know, an effective thing at the state level.
Well, the invisible lines and the maps don't extend into the air. You
right,
know?
Exactly.
So we're in Reggie, Ohio is not.
The way and have served as incubators for policy on a national level.
Well, that's true. I mean, we've opened the kimono on this many times. I mean, when this was actually proposed under the Pataki administration, his people actually said, you know, we have no way to know whether this is going to do anything in reality, but it will be an incubator. It'll be a demonstration project. It'll show it could be done at this level and sort of lead the way to perhaps a national policy eventually.
Yeah. And when you said this, you were talking about back to Reggie, the regional grant.
And to note on a political philosophy front as well, this idea of, you know, having permits and selling the permits, whatnot, to control pollution was a Republican idea from 20 years ago that the first George Bush used on acid rain. So this idea isn't,
you know,
some crazy
the,
liberal thing.
Yeah, the Americans for Prosperity and all those groups touting former President Reagan, but it's actually his administration which these ideas came out of.
Yeah, this was a free market approach, supposedly, to pollution, rather than just ordering you as the plant owner, you will do this. You know, a cap was set for the industry.
It is a conservative approach to solving an environmental problem.
You wouldn't know it from the political debate now. It's being labeled as, you know, just the side of Karl Marx.
Well, it's kind of funny that environmental issues are not at all being discussed in the national election.
No. Obama is definitely,
it's unbelievable.
You know, he soft soaps it, and I doubt he'll bring it up before the election.
Yeah. Well, anyway, once again, we have strutted and fretted our half hour upon the stage. We now temporarily drop the curtain on the Capitol Green scene. Check out the following places on the World Wide Web, www.chpexpress.com and www.timesunion.com, where the Green Blog is.
We'll post the interview next week. We do want to thank Ross Gould from EA New York for being our guest.
And your website,
gentlemen, thank you.
What's your website, Ross?
It's www.eany.org.
Okay, very good. Be sure to tune us in again next Saturday, same time, same station, for another exciting episode of the Capitol Green Scene. Until next Saturday, seek out the morning breeze, fry up some black-eyed peas, and unplug those darn TVs. Get outside, Brian.
I will, Bill. You too.